Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we're going to talk with one of the co-owners of Work Camper News about the variety of jobs that are advertised on the platform every year. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Jody Duquette is the executive director of Work Camper News. Among other things, she oversees production of the magazine and online content management. In this episode, Jody describes the myriad of short-term jobs available to work campers. They can be part-time or full-time. Some last just a couple of weeks, some an entire season, and some until the work campers opt to move on to something else. While a majority of jobs advertised involve serving as camp hosts or helping out at campgrounds, Jody talks about jobs available at private campgrounds as well as public parks. She explains how national parks work with private concessionaires to run much of the public services provided by the parks. There are a number of hotels and lodges that also hire work campers. Jody touches on a number of other categories, such as amusement parks, water parks, and other tourist-related attractions that would be considered entertainment. For example, people can find work at baseball stadiums and racetracks. Some people are even involved in traveling with musicians to help set up equipment and even perform. Retail outlets rely on work campers to staff restaurants, souvenir stands, truck stops, convenience stores, and gift shops. People can sell Christmas trees and are even hired to set up holiday decorations and displays for businesses, governments, and private homes. Work campers are also hired to sell pumpkins, fireworks, and farm produce too. Whether it is sugar beets, blueberries, or other types of fruits and vegetables, people are hired to help with the harvest. Some places hire people to care for animals and help maintain ranches, farms, and wineries. Not all work campers are looking for paid positions. Some like to volunteer for a variety of faith-based and social services organizations. Nature preserves seek volunteer work campers to help care for animals, and museums seek them to help greet visitors too. Jody talks about some of the small businesses that work campers operate from their RVs. To tell us more about the different jobs that work campers are hired to perform, please welcome Jody Duquette to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Jody. I really appreciate it. Tell us a little about yourself and how you got involved in Work Camper News.
Thanks, Greg. I'm really excited to be here and talk with you today. So I'm one of the co-owners of Work Camper News. I co-own it with my family. My husband and Steve and Kathy Joe are my parents. And my family took over Work Camper News back in 2005. We acquired it from the couple that owned and operated it at the time. And they were just ready to move on and do something else. And new Work Camper News needed to grow. But they were wanting to do other things and weren't going to be the ones who wanted to do it. So that's where my family came in. And we've, you know, expanded the website and the magazine and just done a lot with Work Camper News since 2005 when we took it over. So I'm officially now the executive director, but I'm kind of just do all kinds of things there at Work Camper News. I enjoy communicating with our members. I graphically designed the magazine, involved with a lot of the website development, what's going on the website, as well as content development, like our podcast here that I hope is being really helpful for everyone and enjoyable to listen to. So that's coinciding with you know, our webinars and all kinds of stuff. We like to stay busy over at WordCamper News, that's for sure.
You also edit the magazine, right?
I do, yep. So, you know, you help with providing the content, and we have a few WordCamper writers that submit some great experiences written out and provide the content. So I compile everything, graphically design it, and the employers submit the ads, as the main purpose of our magazine is for sharing a lot of those great WordCamper opportunities. And so I put that bad boy together and get it to the printer, and then we blast it out on the internet. And we even actually, I know it's going to be surprising to people, we still physically mail our magazine as well. It is printed and it's beautiful. It's nice color and heavy pages, and it can come right to your mailbox if you'd like to hold that in your hand.
That's great.
6 times a year.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about jobs today, the different types of jobs that WordCampers can perform and what employers are looking for to fill those types of jobs. They're not all campgrounds, are they? That's
exactly.
A common misconception among WordCampers is that you have to work at a campground, and that's not at all the case.
I totally agree. I mean, it is kind of maybe inherently in the name, you know, when you hear the term WordCamper or WordCamping, you might just think it has to be involving a campground, but the variety of options that are out there is really numerous. And WordCamping, as defined by us here at WordCamper News, is doing any kind of part-time or full-time work while living in an RV. So that's a pretty wide open box, in my opinion.
I agree. And these are full and part-time jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some aren't even necessarily jobs. If you want to operate a small business from the road, there you go. That's you decide right. Whether you're part-time or full-time at that rate.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What are some of the different types of jobs that people work?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I kind of, when I think about it, I try to kind of categorize them in kind of some main categories. But of course, you know, I mean, people do typically think of work camping as working in a campground, because you will see that the majority of job listings are going to be for campgrounds, RV parks, RV resorts, whatever kind of name you want to give them. And so those might be commercial entities, many franchise corporations that have multiple properties, hire work campers, down to mom and pop owners, where maybe it's a family or just a couple operating the campground, as well as government owned and operated, like the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They have a lot of folks come in to help with their day use facilities, as well as their campgrounds, and then also federal parks like Forest Service, as well as state parks, county parks, and lots of other kind of smaller entities like that.
And the national parks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yep, so the National Park Service, yeah. I haven't seen as many advertisements for volunteer park hosts in those campgrounds, but I'm sure there's definitely opportunities out there. They're maybe just not advertised as much.
I've interviewed several who have talked about their experiences over the years working at Yellowstone, which would be a wonderful job to have, where you can live right on the property and really see that park up close and personal over the course of a couple of months.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the great things. There are multiple concessioners that operate within and right around a lot of the national parks, national monuments. And a lot of them recruit work campers because they just don't have a lot of people in the local area to bring into their operations. So, you know, those entities typically, the concessioners themselves, they typically offer paying positions where you work in their operations, whether it be in their gift shops, maybe a food service or lodging, hotel or cabins kind of thing. And you're working, you'll typically be paid hourly, and then the cost for the RV site usually is deducted from your paycheck. But again, what a way to enjoy an area. And I mean, oftentimes those concessioners will have their own RV site areas for their work campers. And usually those sites are they're bigger in size. As many RVers maybe already know, a lot of the national park campgrounds, the sites aren't that long. You might be able to get a 30-foot rig in there, but typically you're going to almost need a smaller RV than that to get into those campgrounds. So working for a concessioner, those of you with maybe 40-foot rigs, that's going to be a way that, you're going to be able to spend time in that national park. So not only may you get to enjoy the beauty of it, but you may also get paid while you're there. So
that's kind of always a plug. Yes, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So there are, there are companies that are involved in entertainment that hire work campers too.
Absolutely. And so there's kind of some fun ones that I recall. The first one that always comes to mind when I think about entertainment is amusement parks. And there's multiple ones that recruit work campers. The main one that many of you may be familiar with is Adventureland Amusement Park in Iowa. They've had a work camper program for a long, long time. And Steve Anderson, my dad and co-owner of Work Camper News, actually started that program. And that's how he got introduced to work campers and Work Camper News, was by working at Adventureland. So, but when you work for an amusement park, you know, you get to fill all the different roles that they need. And so typically that's going to be like food and games, operating rides, maybe working in the front gate, perhaps doing some sanitation. There may also be some behind the scenes positions, like maybe in accounting or a banking area, things like that. But typically with the amusement parks, you got to be fairly comfortable with being on your feet for long periods of time and interacting with other people. So something to keep in mind.
And many of the amusement parks also have adjacent water parks now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so maybe if you have a CPR certification, or you were a lifeguard, or maybe an EMT or something in your pre-work camping life, you know, those are going to be good skills to be sure to include on your resume if you're applying for one of those kind of jobs.
Some of the other places that I recall off the top of my head are Silver Dollar City and Dollywood as being big work camper employers. Does Disney do that too?
Now, Disney used to. Disney used to have a work camper program, but I think they came into some restrictions where maybe they were requiring folks to be Florida residents or something. I don't know. Something kind of happened there. So I know there are RVers who work for Disney, but Disney itself doesn't have like an organized work camper program any longer. But I'm sure if you wanted to apply and go down there, you'll just have to find your own RV site and you'll be treated just as a quote normal employee for Disney. But heck yeah, if that's your dream and where you want to hang out for the winter or summer, if you're, you know, hardcore Florida person, then definitely give it a try. Yeah. I mean, just understand, you guys, that even if you don't see an opportunity being advertised in our magazine, on the hotline, or whatever, you know, go for it. If it's an area you want to be in or something specific you want to do, you know, go approach that employer, communicate with them, let them know you are a work camper. They'll probably go, what the heck is that? But then you can, you know, educate them. And if they're, you know, not going to work some kind of trade out for an RV site, that's fine. You may still want to take that job anyway, and then just find a place to park your home on wheels close by.
And so, these entertainment venues really like work campers because they are generally available in the shoulder seasons when the parks are open and they can't get the kids, the college students or the high school students, to work because they're still in school. And so they need to be open during the week because that's when all the school trips show up and there got to be people there to run the rides and serve the food and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it's kind of the same too for a lot of the, you know, tourist areas that have operations that are really in full swing, mostly during that summer travel season. A lot of those types of entities in those areas are going to fall in that same realm for sure.
What are some of the other types of jobs that work campers tend to perform?
Yeah. So even just staying with the entertainment realm, there are also a lot of activities that take place, usually at more of the RV parks that call themselves resorts. So you might get to be an activity director where you're the one figuring out what kinds of fun things are going to happen at that resort for the residents. So you might be, you know, booking bands or singers coming in or doing karaoke or having movie nights and things like that. So I don't know, I think of that as kind of being a entertainment coordinator. I think that would be fun for quite a few people. And then as far as bigger entertainment venues, some of the race car tracks will hire work campers. We used to have Talladega, I know, was one, in Indianapolis, I believe, as well. They may not have quite organized work camper programs like they used to, but if that's, you know, something that you're really excited about, you'd love to be at a racetrack while those big races are going on, definitely contact those facilities and see if they're still hiring. And because a lot of those places, you know, the RVs truck into their properties and they're scattered all around and have all that dry camping and stuff. And somebody's got to be there to keep all those people in line, right?
Many of the NASCAR drivers own RVs and live on the property. So I guess that qualifies them as work campers as well, right?
Totally. Absolutely. And like musicians as well, you know, those musicians that travel around in those, usually the pretty snazzy buses, but traveling around the country, going to the different concert venues, like, yeah, rock stars are work campers too. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then one other thing that I know a lot of work campers like to do is Aramark hires work campers for the spring training, the baseball spring training that happens, like, I think it's in Arizona, and you get to work the concession stands during the spring training. So I know a lot of work campers like to do that as well. So that kind of fills out a little bit of kind of the entertainment category. But another one too that you maybe have thought of, but maybe haven't, but there's a lot of retail operations, lodging, and restaurants. So again, if there's a certain area that you're interested in being in, especially in areas outside of the national parks, kind of as we talked about, you know, there's quite a few entities around Yellowstone, especially like Blair Hotels is in Cody, Wyoming, and they've recruited work campers for a long, long time. And they're kind of all of those things. They have a restaurant, they have lodging, they have retail. And so there's a lot of different positions to fill. So you could be cashiering, you could be working behind the scenes, like in a warehouse setting, kind of moving, restocking product, working in food service. You may be up front assisting customers. You may also be in the back preparing the food. And then working in lodging, perhaps you're a front desk person, answering phones, doing reservations, things like that. Housekeeping, of course, or even just kind of a concierge person, just answering questions and helping people get to where they want to go. So I think that could be kind of fun for a lot of folks. And another one, too, that comes to mind is bowl and travel centers. And Greg, I know you did a podcast with Valkyrie from up there, and they have, you know, travel centers, some of them kind of in the middle of nowhere in Arizona and New Mexico. But, you know, that's something that some people may be really interested in, is enjoying a remote location in kind of a desert area. But having a full hookup RV site within walking distance of working at the travel stop, which is, you know, kind of a gas station. They usually have Dairy Queens there as well. So you may be doing food service or retail. And then, of course, Alaska. If you want to head up to Alaska, a lot of those towns run off the tourist industry. And so there's tons of shops and restaurants and tour companies and things like that going on. So,
and the local employees, there are not enough people living in some of those areas to accommodate the tourists. So, again, the work campers come to the rescue of the tourism industry up there.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's a nice symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, and another aspect, too, I think some work campers maybe aren't familiar with is working in sales. And, you know, that might be a little scary for some people to think about, oh, I don't want to work in sales. But some of it could be as fun as selling Christmas trees to people. There are multiple entities, and as you guys maybe hopefully you've listened to the Hartee Tree Farms episode in our podcast, but they, the company sets up the tent for you. You arrive, you're basically on-site security, management, salespeople, bookkeeper, etc., and you are operating that tent. So you get to be there when the families are together picking out what Christmas tree they're going to have, and you know, being a part of the excitement and fun of the holiday season. So, I mean, it is technically sales, but that sure sounds like a lot of fun to me.
It does. Absolutely.
Yeah. And this time of year, especially, we're recording this podcast in June, but it's almost time for July 4th. So there are many fireworks companies that do the same thing, and as well as pumpkins. You can operate a pumpkin tent close to Halloween. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But then also, if you are more someone who perhaps does have a sales background or just really enjoys, you know, communicating and having rapport with people, there's a couple entities. One is called AGS, another is called Southeast Publications. And these entities create the campground maps that you likely as an RVer have received when you checked into your campground, and maybe you've seen the different ads within that campground map. Well, those companies recruit where campers to travel to the different locations to try and sell local businesses the advertising in the campground maps. And it's more than that. They have online stuff and other marketing packages that you would be selling. It's not just the map, but if you're someone who wants to move around more and not be in places for longer term, because some of these other jobs that we've talked about are seasonal and they're going to want you for potentially up to 6 months, if not longer. So if you do want to move around a little bit more, that might be a good opportunity and also an income opportunity because you're earning commission. So that's something maybe some folks may want to think about if they really, you know, enjoy that kind of process.
I've interviewed a couple of those employers, and the jobs are typically only 2 or 3 weeks long in one particular location. So a lot of the work campers will stay a whole month. They will add on a week to the front or the back of that to explore the area and all the things to do when they're not working, and then move on to another area and start over there as well.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, a lot of these folks that become a part of this will typically continue to do it year after year. And they develop relationships with these business owners that they have sold the ads to, and the campgrounds, of course, as well. And you kind of develop your own family that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And so that's kind of a unique opportunity. And then there's some others, too, that always come to mind that maybe, I guess some are fairly pretty popular. If you've been a part of WordCamper News for any period of time, you've likely seen the advertisements for the sugar beet harvest. And that's something that's pretty cool. Again, we have another podcast episode on that if you haven't listened to it yet. But with the sugar beet harvest, it's a short-term opportunity dictated by the weather a little bit, but it typically takes place September, October in some northern kind of Midwestern states. But
Montana,
you're working at the receiving. Yeah.
Montana, Minnesota, station. Michigan, and one other place out in that area, too.
One of the Dakotas, I believe.
Yeah, you're right, North Dakota. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, super. Cool. Yeah, so you might be, you know, at the receiving station, kind of guiding trucks, directing trucks. You might be able, you know, keeping the area clean, things like that. Some work campers get to operate some of the machinery, like the pilers and things like that. You also may be able to work in kind of the lab areas where they do testing on the sugar beets, oftentimes just to measure the sugar content and things like that in the beets. So I think that's a pretty cool opportunity. Your RV site's provided to you short period of time. It is kind of physical work, but a lot of work campers do it year after year.
Because it's so lucrative, they get pretty much as many hours as they care to work. I mean, some of these shifts are like 12 hours long, but they can work, receive overtime and double time depending upon the days of the week that they're needing the additional work. And they just make bank in a 6 week period. They get several $1,000s to fund all the fun activities they'll do for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it's likely one of the highest paying jobs that you'll see listed in the work camping world, the typical work camping world. Absolutely. Go ahead, Greg. Sorry. Yeah,
there's another really high paying job, guarding oil fields.
Mm-hmm.
But they are working all day, every day, sitting there. They need couples for that one, no solos, because somebody has to be available to open the gate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when these oil rigs and the employees come into the work sites. But that's also a very lucrative position, and we've interviewed those folks on another podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And there's multiple companies that recruit for that, and multiple locations, typically, of course, in Texas, is where we see most of the listings taking place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but not a bad place to be in the winter months.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. So, and then there's cool stuff, too. I remember one of those jobs I always wanted to do myself was a blueberry farm up in Vermont would recruit work campers to assist with the harvest. So, you know, that always I thought sounded really fun, but also I think would be challenging because I would be like, one for me, one for you, I would have a hard time restraining myself, I think.
I would think that those farms would hire work campers to man the scales and weigh the children when they come into the you pick 'em farms and weigh them before and after and then charge the parents for the difference.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Oh, that's hilarious. I like that.
What about llamas? I heard that there's a llama farm that hires work campers too, isn't there?
Right. Yeah. So if you're interested in animals, there's a llama farm, Windy Valley Llama Farms in Georgia. They recruited work campers for many years. And there's other opportunities too. You know, some I've seen a lot more as of late, kind of like ranches looking for work campers. So in that instance, you're kind of more of a caretaker. So you might be like around the livestock and you're just kind of assisting with the different needs of the ranches or farms. So if that's really kind of in your interest realm, then, you know, there's certainly opportunities to kind of to have some fun in that way. And you might learn something new, you know, working at a ranch. You know, we see them on TV and in movies and stuff, but until you're there mending fences and mowing and all that fun stuff, you'll really get an inside look.
Feeding the calves and all that good stuff, yes.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Would you include these, like, wineries in this group of employers as well? Because they're helping out not only maybe in the wine production, but also in the retail stores where they're helping guests do taste testing. That sounds like it'd be a fun job for a people person.
Oh, gosh, I totally agree. And then, you know, the one we've talked to before, Prairie Berry, they're right in the Black Hills of South Dakota. So
beautiful.
Great location. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you're right. If you're maybe a wine connoisseur or even a brewery, there's going to be, I think, more and more breweries kind of maybe coming on board to the realization of this kind of workforce. So, you know, if that's your jam, then, especially if you have some previous knowledge. But I'm sure, you know, they'll, especially at Prairie Berry, they'll train you and everything. But, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I know there's Harvest Host is an organization where, you know, you become a member and they give you a list of wineries and different farms and things like that where you can go and stay on the property. And so if you're already a member of that, you know, that's directly connecting you with a lot of these operations. And while you're there, you could talk to them about work campers. And if they did happen to maybe have hookups or space on site and that was a place you wanted to be for a long time, definitely approach the subject with these folks.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I've heard of a really interesting work camping job around the holidays, and that's hanging Christmas lights. Have you heard of employers looking for those folks as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's super cool too, because especially like when I was younger, when I was still living at home with my folks, like every Christmas, my dad and I, like, we'd really deck the outside of the house out with Christmas lights. Like, that was our really fun thing that we did. And one year, like, our town had a contest or whatever, and we won the contest one year, and it was super cool. So if I was wanting to communicate with this Christmas light company, that might be something I would include on my resume. Mm-hmm. Right. If I was going to apply to them, you know. But yeah, and we had an article in a recent issue of Work Camper News where this couple, the Henleys, shared about their experience. But it's a company based in Knoxville, and they recruit folks to hang Christmas lights. And some of it's residential, some of it's commercial. you know, you don't have to climb up the ladders. So, you know, if heights aren't your thing, there are, you know, there's still an opportunity for you to help. But you're, you know, hanging lights and doing garland where you're fluffing the garland, hanging bows, things like that. So, you get started and you hang them. And then if you can stick around till after the holidays, then you can stay on with them and take them down, or just be part of the hanging, or just be a part of the taking down. So
very good.
Another kind of short term opportunity. And I think Knoxville wouldn't be too bad of a place to be that time of year.
I'd agree with that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Are there any volunteer positions available for work campers who may not need the money?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And so aside from, you know, as we talked about before, a lot of the government operated, campgrounds and rec areas, you know, Corps of Engineers, state parks, et cetera, they're always looking for volunteers, National Park Service, Forest Service, that kind of thing. But there are other like specific, more nonprofits that look for work campers as well. And many of them, maybe you've seen on Facebook or just around, but there's some that are based with religious organizations. So, and typically it's a group of RVers, and they will go to a specific location either after a disaster takes place, or perhaps just to do some upkeep and some revitalization of a church or maybe religious college or school, something like that. So, you know, if that's your calling, then there's definitely outlets for you to participate in that way. The RV Disaster Corps specifically assists when disasters happen. And so you travel and just help with the cleanup and you know, serving others and things like that. So that's pretty cool.
Some of the churches run campgrounds where they are hiring people, especially in the summer when the kiddos are there, to serve meals to the kids and to kind of keep the park in order, mow the grass and things like that. So it's another opportunity for people. And some of those jobs are paid and some are volunteer. It depends upon the organization.
Yeah, and beautiful locations, I'm sure, too. You know, if you're going to be at a camp, it's going to be a pretty probably nice park-like setting, you know, to spend the summer at. And there's a children's home as well, Presbyterian Children's Home. They've been recruiting work campers for a long time. They're based out of Texas. And so, you know, they're looking for home parents, basically, to be there and to make sure the kids are getting their meals and hauling them around to appointments and activities and just being there and being role models for the kids. So, again, if that's your calling, then, you know, there's opportunities for you to help others and give back. It's pretty awesome.
That's neat. Very good.
Yeah, and if kids aren't your thing, then you can help out animals too.
Right. Absolutely. There are a lot of nature preserves and animal refuges that hire work campers.
Yeah, definitely. So you can look into that. You know, there's likely some shelters or safe havens, whether it be, you know, dogs and cats, maybe farm animals. And then, like you said, more of the nature preserve where it's an entity that's just trying to keep a certain area natural. So you're maybe working in a visitor center or maintaining trails or other facilities, things like that. And I know there was this one just great couple, and they wrote an article. We have a couple issues of our magazine. If you guys are Diamond or Platinum members and you go into the magazine archive, we had a couple issues where we featured out of the box work camping opportunities. And so there's some really cool things to read about in there. But this one couple, they would feed wild horses in this wild horse sanctuary. And this was up in South Dakota. And so they drove the truck out with the big tub of water and would just fill up the big water bin, and the horses would come out. Some horses would maybe need a medicine or something because they had an ailment and were being taken care of, so they'd assist with that. And so, yeah, just super cool. Super cool opportunities out there.
We've been talking about a lot of jobs, and I know this probably needs to be a separate podcast in and of itself, but there's an opportunity to run businesses from your RV too, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And some of you guys maybe have been entrepreneurs in the past, or maybe it's something new that you're considering for this next phase of your life. Either way, you know, there's opportunity out there. Some ideas for small businesses that where campers may operate. You've probably heard a lot about doing RV inspections or maybe being a mobile RV tech. There's always a need for those kind of folks out there. And if you're real technical and want to learn a lot about RVs and how they work, just for your own benefit, as well as being able to benefit others, you know, those are two pathways you could go down. I've known multiple people who are mobile DJs, and that's just what they love to do. And they take their services to different campgrounds and RV parks around the country. You can sell things. You know, there's lots of things now, whether it be essential oils, Tupperwares, or who knows what. If you're good enough at doing that, it could potentially generate enough income for you. Some campgrounds will let you do that on site within their campground. But if you are someone who's selling physical products, you be sure to check with the campground operation first to make sure that's okay to take place on their property. But certainly, you know, an opportunity there for folks to earn some more money.
I interviewed somebody who sells hair pieces at various craft shows and the community festivals and things like that. She started out as a part-time business just to give her daughter something to do. She's a full-time family and had a couple of teen daughters, and they needed something to occupy their time and make a little extra money. And the business grew so much that it is now their full-time job, and it replaced their husband's or her husband's construction work that he was doing. They were making so much money doing that type of thing.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Just find something you're passionate about. You know, if you have enough drive, if you have enough excitement about something, you know, you're going to make it happen. And if people see that in you as well, then it's just going to further your venture, mm-hmm. you know. But I always remember too, and one year this couple, Santa came to our work camper rendezvous event, and we got to know him, but Santa was actually a work camper. So he would volunteer for the Corps of Engineers for most of the year, but then once the holidays came up, you know, he had a really nice suit and he kept his long beard. And so he would do, you know, Santa gigs along with his wife who played Mrs. Claus. And so that's what he did. And, you know, it was just a period of time a year, make some good income, and then they were able to volunteer the rest of the year. So that's pretty cool.
That's fun. If people wanted more information about the types of jobs that are available, how could they subscribe to this Work Camper Hotline email that comes out every day that lists those jobs that have just emerged and they're looking for people right now?
That's right, yeah. So workcamper.com is the website. You guys hop over there. You'll want to get started if you're brand new to work camping or just getting into things. The Diamond membership is going to be perfect for you. We're going to send the job listings immediately right to your email inbox. You don't even have to go to a website and check it out. You can also set it up so you can select the states you're most interested in working in. So then the job listings you receive are just for those states that you're interested in. You don't have to scroll through everything else. Although it's pretty fun to look at all the other stuff too. But when you become a Diamond member, you'll get that hotline. It comes out each weekday as the employers are submitting new ads to us all the time. And then you'll have access to our magazine, whether you want a physical copy in the mail, or you can look at the archive that's online. We take every issue of our magazine. It's a PDF, real easy to open, save to your computer, whatever you want to do with it. There's 70 some issues in that archive now. It's really the largest online archive of work camper jobs anywhere. And those are just the two main avenues. We also have featured employers, volunteer listings, recorded videos we've done with certain employers called Jobinars. So lots of ways to get immersed in the different types of work camping opportunities when you get started at workcamper.com.
This has been very informational, Jody. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this today. And I hope everybody signs up for that to become Diamond members, because what a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope you guys find those opportunities that meet your location and your budgetary needs, and also just make you happy and give you joy and give you purpose and excitement for this period of your life. It's going to be great.
I'd like to thank Jody Duquette for coming on the show to discuss the many types of jobs work campers are hired to perform every year. Jody would know. She is the daughter of Steve and Kathy Jo Anderson, the owners of Work Camper News, and Jody practically grew up in the business. As the editor of Work Camper News and the person overseeing content creation for the website and magazine, she is intimately familiar with the different types of employers seeking to fill a variety of short-term jobs. Some of the jobs can be very lucrative, like working for the sugar beet harvest or serving as a gate guard controlling access to oil fields. Some jobs are in very busy places, like amusement parks and attractions, while others can be isolated in remote parts of the country, like at Army Corps of Engineer properties. Some involve working with people, while others require work campers to work with animals, or completely on their own. Some work campers operate their own businesses from the road, while others simply work as independent contractors for other companies. The bottom line is there's a lot of opportunity for people to enjoy the RV and travel lifestyle right now and get paid for it. All you need is a resume and a list of employers seeking to hire people just like you. Work Camper News can get you started today by visiting www.workcamper.com and signing up for a free account. That gives you access to the Work Camper Academy and Facebook community so you can learn more about the lifestyle and how it works. When you're serious about finding that first job, then you can become a Diamond or Platinum member and receive access to daily job hotlines, a resume builder, and other tools. You can even post your own situation wanted ads to let employers know you're available for specific work. For more information, visit www.workcamper.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's show. We've opted to produce just one episode a week for a while, so the shows will come out on Tuesdays. We'll see you next week for a new episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.